In Exodus chapter 1, we covered those first three chapters, but if you'll remember, God began speaking to Moses and calling Moses there in chapter 3. He gave Moses a plan. He gave Moses purpose, which is something we talked about this morning. And what we see is that God is going to use Moses to redeem and rescue Israel from captivity of this nation called Egypt. And so Moses, in humility and sometimes with a lack of focus, he asked questions like this: well, who am I? Like, God, this is a big plan and this is a big purpose, so who am I to do such a thing? He even says, well, what if, right? So God starts to say, I'm going to do this. And I'm going to do this, and I'm going to be with you. But Moses, he continues to focus on himself a little bit rather than focusing on the greatness of God. And he says, well, what if? What if your people don't believe that you spoke to me? You know, what if Pharaoh won't listen to me? You know, what if your own people, the Israelites, won't listen to me? So Moses tried to remind God that when it came to doing what God wanted him to do, he felt like he was lacking. You remember, that's what we talked about last week. He lacked experience, or he lacked wisdom, or he lacked understanding. He lacked. And God says, I know that, but I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this. So what we see so far in Exodus chapter 4 is very simple. We see that God is both patient and persistent with Moses. That's what we see. God is patient with Moses because Moses continues to say, what if? And God says, okay, I'll do this. Well, what if? I'll do this. But we also see that God is persistent with Moses because Moses finally says, after he says, what if? And God says, I'm going to. What was Moses' last reply? Would you just send somebody else? You remember? Isn't that what he said? Why don't you just use somebody else? But God said, no, I'm going to use you. I'm going to send you. So God was both patient and persistent with Moses. And so now we're going to see Moses actually step out in faith, and he's going to step into the plans and the purposes that God has for him and that God has for all of his children, Israel. So Moses, at this point, gets ready to go. He gets ready to go. And remember, I talked about that this morning in Luke chapter 10, right? It's one thing to go in your own power and in your own mind. It's another thing to be sent, right? So Moses goes because he is sent by God. And so that's a good thing. So sent and go together when it comes to God. So let's go ahead and look. We're going to break this up into a couple of passages. Let's look at Exodus chapter 4, and we're going to focus on verses 18 through 23 in this first passage. It says, then Moses went back to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, let me return to my own people in Egypt to see if any of them are still alive. Jethro said, go, and I wish you well. Now the Lord had said to Moses in Midian, go back to Egypt, for all those who wanted to kill you are dead. So Moses took his wife and sons, put them on a donkey, and started back to Egypt. And he took the staff of God in his hand. Because you remember, God said, hey, take that staff with you. And remember, what was that staff to Moses? It was a sign and a symbol of God's presence. That's right. God was with him. And God said, watch what I'll do. And God reminded him, hey, take that staff with you. So it says he took the staff with him. And so it says in verse 21, then the Lord said to Moses, when you return to Egypt, see that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonders I have given you the power to do. So again, this is important. We see God empowering Moses. He couldn't have done it by himself. He had to have God. God said, do this with the power I have given you, right? But I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will not let the people go. Then say to Pharaoh, this is what the Lord says. Israel is my firstborn son, and I told you, let my son go so he may worship me. But you refuse to let him go, so I will kill your firstborn son. So I love this passage, and I love to start here Because what we see right off the bat, we see the word go or a form of the word go at least five times in this passage. So this is pretty important, right? Moses had to make a choice to obey God. And he demonstrated his obedience by doing what? By going. So that word go is very important. And so God commanded Moses to go where? To Egypt. Do you think Moses was a little intimidated or maybe a little scared? Right? He's already told us that, right? Why was he intimidated and a little scared to go back to Egypt? Because he killed a guy there. And they knew about it. Why did he run out of Egypt? Because they were chasing him, right? And so he, listen, I'm telling you this because Moses was just a man. Sometimes we take these characters in the Bible, sometimes we take these people in the Bible and we put them up on the shelf like they're a Marvel superhero or something. He's not. He's just a man, flesh and blood. He struggles just like we struggle. And so Moses was commanded by God to go to Egypt. Not only that, right, but his own father-in-law. Look how God used his own father-in-law. Because what did his own father-in-law encourage him to do? Go. Go. Now, we don't know for sure, but based on these words, Moses didn't say anything about the calling on his life to Jethro. Okay? All he said was, I got to go back to Egypt and see if any of my people are what? Still alive. So we don't know that he mentioned the calling on his life that God gave him to Jethro. But nonetheless, Jethro knew Moses' history. He knew his background. And he encouraged him to go back to Egypt. We don't see Moses' wife or his sons put up any kind of fight either, do we? Sometimes I think we wish that there was more. Right? But in this situation, I like what it says. It says they got on the donkeys that he prepared and they went with him. No fighting, right? No putting up any kind of fight. They went with Moses because maybe, just maybe, they understood the calling. Maybe, just maybe. Now again, I don't want to put words on the page that aren't there, but that's what we believe when we look at the context. And so God commanded Moses to speak words to Pharaoh. And not only that, but to perform wonders before him. So again, it's kind of like I said this morning. Don't you love it when God gives us instruction, but he also gives us the words? I mean, he promised Moses that. When Moses was trying to backpedal out of it, God said, I'm going to give you the words. I'm going to give you the wisdom. I'm going to give you the strength. I'm going to be with you. And Aaron's going to go too, right? And so that's what we see. So God shared with Moses what to say and what to do. And he even told Moses that, hey, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart. I'm going to harden his heart. Pharaoh will not let my people go. Now, this next passage is a little tricky. A lot of theologians say this is one of the most confusing parts in the book of Exodus. And so we're going to read it. And then I'm going to explain it to you as best I can, and hopefully you'll see what God showed me and what we see in the Scripture. So look at Exodus chapter 4, verses 24 through 26. At a lodging place on the way, the Lord met Moses and was about to kill him. I mean, what? Like, think about all we've read. From chapter 1, verse 1, to Exodus chapter 4, verse 23. And then verse 24 says, at a lodging place along the way, the Lord met Moses and was about to kill him. Is anybody confused? Okay. That could be confusing. But watch what happens in verse 25. But Zipporah, which is his wife, took a flint knife, cut off her son's foreskin, and touched Moses' feet with it. Surely you are a bridegroom of blood to me, she said. So the Lord let him alone. At the time, she said bridegroom of blood, referring to circumcision. So let me explain this as best I can. Of course, you know, I've read David Jeremiah and Dr. Tony Evans and Pastor R.C. Sproul. And so this passage might seem confusing. It might seem like out of place, but we really need to pay close attention here. Moses had been called by God to do the works of God, right, in order to redeem God's children. Would you say that's a pretty high calling? I would say that's a pretty high calling. I mean, that's the calling of God in his life. And so Moses had to be totally surrendered to God in every way. And he had failed, obviously, what we see in this passage. Moses had failed to circumcise one of his sons. Now, based on other passages and context, theologians say it was most likely Eliezer. His son Eliezer was not circumcised. And so this was his second son. And nowhere in Scripture do we know why. But he was not circumcised. All right? And remember, circumcision was very important. Because what did circumcision do as far as the Israelites and the world they lived in? It was a sign of what? Their covenant with God, or God's covenant with them. It was to set them apart. Okay? And so Moses could not go any further with God's plan of redemption until he fulfilled the conditions of God's covenant. And what was the condition of God's covenant? Circumcision. And that's what this passage is about. Okay? So hopefully it's not near as confusing now when you read that. I mean, Moses goes along the way and the Lord sets out to kill him. Remember this, God is holy and just and righteous. Is that, you understand that? Like, he is holy and righteous and just. We want to talk about his love and his mercy and grace all day long, and we should. But we should never forget that God is holy and he is righteous and he is just. All of God's attributes ought to be proclaimed. Not just the ones we like, okay? And so Zipporah may not have liked this condition, okay? But she acted faithfully to do what God commanded. And I don't know if I put this on your handout, but that is found in Genesis chapter 17, all right? The circumcision and the covenant. Genesis chapter 17. So Zipporah did what Moses should have done. And that's why she touched his feet with it. Right? And so for the children of God, circumcision was an outward sign of an inward covenant with God. An outward sign of an inward covenant with God. So the blood that was shed in the circumcision, it sealed the covenant relationship. Now, what does that mean for us today? Well, today we can thank God for Jesus who shed his blood on the cross for us. Right? Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we have what is called a circumcision of the heart. Right? That's what's happened. That's what happens with Jesus. So our hearts are changed by God through our repentance of sin and our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And that's why I say, if you look closely, you can see Jesus very easily in the Old Testament scriptures. And so now Moses could move forward. Moses could truly go in his walk with God and in his work for God. So then we come to this final passage in Exodus chapter 4, and this is what it says in verse 27. The Lord said to Aaron, "Go into the wilderness to meet Moses." So he met Moses at the mountain of God and kissed him. Then Moses told Aaron everything the Lord had sent him to say, and also about the signs he had commanded him to perform. Moses and Aaron brought together all the elders of the Israelites, and Aaron told them everything the Lord had said to Moses. He also performed the signs before the people. And look at this, verse 31. And they believed. And when they heard that the Lord was concerned about them and had seen their misery, they bowed down and worshiped. So again, what an awesome way to end chapter 4. Not only did Moses go, but now we see Aaron go as well. And if you'll remember earlier in chapter 4, Aaron was already on his way. Don't you love that? It's almost like God knew Moses was going to say, "Who am I? What if?" Aaron was already on his way. God said, "Your brother Aaron is going to meet you, and he's going to go with you." So I love when we see God continue to fulfill promise after promise after promise. And Andy sang about it this morning. The praise team sang about it this morning. He's faithful, isn't he? He's faithful. When God makes a promise, he keeps it. Absolutely. And so Moses will now have a companion who happens to be his brother, literally and spiritually. And it reminds me of this, and I don't know if I put it on your handouts, but it reminds me of Proverbs 27:17. Anybody know what 27:17 in Proverbs says? Iron sharpens iron. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And this morning, when the 72 were sent out, how were they sent out? Two by two. Iron sharpening iron. In Mark 6, when Jesus sends the 12 disciples out, how does he send them out? Two by two. And so we see this we see it in Exodus, right? Not only do we see it in the New Testament in Mark chapter 6 and in Luke chapter 10, but we see it way before that, that God sent Moses and Aaron together. And so Aaron, as we see right here in this passage, even before they get into Egypt, Aaron embraces his role. He embraces his role of service to God by going with Moses. And what this shows me is that Aaron was humble and he was surrendered. He was humble and he was surrendered. It shows Aaron's faith in God. He faithfully served God, and God was his power. God was his authority. God was his strength. And then the blessing of Moses stepping out in faith, the blessing of Aaron embracing his role of service with Moses in faith is what we find there in verse 31. It says, the elders of Israel believed. They believed. What did Moses say early on when he started doing the what if questions? What if they don't believe? Let me ask you a question. Do we do that? When God lays someone on our heart, or God lays on our hearts to go, right? He's sending us. Do we come up with excuses? Well, so-and-so would be better than me. So-and-so knows how to say it better than I do. Right? We do that too, don't we? We go, God, who am I? God, what if? What if he don't believe? What if she don't believe? What if they don't believe? We do that too. But it says here, the elders of Israel believed. And so Moses, he had his doubts. He had his fears. He felt as though he were lacking. And again, I think it's okay to recognize those areas where we lack. I just don't think it's okay for us to camp out there. I don't think it's okay for us to, you know, put the pegs in the ground and put a tent there and live there. I think it's okay to recognize those areas where we lack, but I think we need to hear God say, I can. You can't, but I can in you and through you. And that's exactly what he does with Moses. God was with him and God was working. So the question is, are you lacking today? And if you are lacking, where are you lacking? I'm all about self-inventory. I may not be as good at it as I want to be, but I'm all about stepping back and just asking real questions. You know, what do I need to work on? To be God's vessel of love, grace, and mercy. I know I'm not perfect. I know there are areas where I'm lacking. So sometimes we have to look in the mirror. Sometimes we have to ask ourselves, what am I lacking? What area in my life, where am I lacking? But we need to go to the scriptures. And we need to hear what God says to us, right? We need to hear those words like God told Joshua after Moses, hey, I will be with you. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Don't be fearful. I will be with you. right? I will do. How many times does God tell Joshua, I will do? I love the book of Joshua. He says it all the time. I will do this. I will do this. And guess what? If God says, I will do it, it's done. It's done. And my thing is, if he'll do it for Moses, if he'll do it for Aaron, if he'll do it for Joshua, flip over in the New Testament. He does, in the New Testament, in the books of the New Testament, he does it for the disciples. And I'm going to tell you something, he does it for us. You want to know why? Because God never changes. Because God is always faithful. It wasn't like he was faithful just for the ones in the pages of his word. Because I'm going to tell you something, God's still writing today. He's writing through you and me. He's sharing his message of love. He's sharing his message of repent and believe through you and me today. We are telling God's story with our lives. And we're either going to surrender to him and obey him or not. And so the question is, are we lacking? Are we willing to recognize where we're lacking? Are we willing to sometimes just fess up to the truth that we don't feel good enough? Yeah, I mean, sometimes we just have to say, I don't feel like I belong. I don't feel good enough, so that we can hear God say, you do belong, and I'm going to make you who you need to be. I'm going to give you what you need to do what I call you to do. Aren't you thankful that God is patient with you? And aren't you thankful that God is persistent? Because I'm going to tell you, and I'm not going to share this all night, but because I'm about done. But I remember when God was calling me to surrender to him in ministry. And God was patient with me and everything I said to him, but God was persistent. Marty asked me a while back, she was, I guess, talking to someone. And when Brother Brian Knutson was here, we got close. And I remember Brother Brian saying something to me. He said, Jeff, he said, you know, when God is calling you, he will speak to you through his word. He will speak to you through the Spirit. And sometimes he will speak to you through someone who has no idea what God said to you. And when those things align, you can count on it. And so I remember when God was calling me to surrender, and I was saying, but God, I love coaching. And God, I'm supposed to be the head coach of North Carolina. Like, you know that, because I know you wrote that for me, because you told me that's what I was, like, I was trying to bargain with God. I really was. I was like, if I do that, then I can't do that, and I really want to do that. Like, and I remember praying. I remember going to the Word, and I remember seeing His Word fill in all the blanks that I had dotted, and I remember His Spirit convicting my heart, turning my heart. And I remember one day, and if you've never heard this before, I want you to hear this. I remember one day I was in my classroom, and that year they had scheduled two planning periods back to back. So I had first and second and third period, and then I had fourth and fifth period off, basically. It was my what they called planning period. You know, being a coach, we need a little extra. And so, like, Marty doesn't need that, but I needed it bad. But anyway, I had fourth and fifth period off, and then it was lunch. And then I taught sixth and seventh period, okay? So that was the only year that happened, okay? That year, we were pretty good in basketball. It wasn't because of good coaching. I had really good players, and I just got to say, yeah, that was me. But we were winning a lot of games. As a matter of fact, we had already secured a very high seed in the playoffs. But I knew what God was calling me to do. And I didn't want to do it. Just being honest with you. I wanted to coach. I wanted to teach. I was trying to make up everything I could. It was like I was trying to get God to change his calling in my life and let me decide my calling. And by the way, that never works. At least it doesn't work out for us. But anyway, there was a lady that Miss Jane Salisbury asked me to go see in the hospital, a lady that did not go to our church, but she said, this lady had a baby, and the baby's not doing well, and I want you to go pray with this lady. I said, Miss Jane, I'll do it. So that week, that lady had the baby. Miss Jane called me, said they're in St. Francis. Here's the room. And I said, yes, ma'am, I'll go. And so that day, I stepped out of my classroom, and one of my very close friends who's having her own hardship right now, Miss Colleen Brazier, stepped out. She thought I was going to lunch. And she said, hey, if you're going to lunch, will you? And I said, well, Miss Brazier, I'm not really going to lunch. I'm going to the hospital to visit a young lady that had a baby, and the baby's not doing well. And here's what she said. You remember this? She said, oh, Jeff. She said, if I was that lady and I didn't have anybody else, you are the one that I would want to come pray with me. She had no idea that God was calling me to surrender to full-time ministry. No idea, at least from my perspective. But God used her, right? He used her to speak truth into my life. His word, his spirit, and someone that had no idea about God's calling in my life. We don't know that Jethro knew about God's calling in Moses' life. But what did Jethro say to him? Go. Go to Egypt. That's powerful. So here's what we need to do. We need to come to a place where we surrender to God fully. And we really believe and know that his calling is right. No matter what excuses we make. And no matter how we feel, we need to come to a place where we believe and know that God's calling is right. We need to fully trust God. Put that on your handout. We need to fully trust God in every area of our lives, and we just need to go when and where he says. You want to know why? Because it ain't just about us. This wasn't about Moses. As much as we're going to read his name, and as much as we're going to talk about him, don't forget what this was about. This was about the redemption of Israel from Egypt. The rescue of Israel from Egypt. Anybody kind of have an idea of how many people that was? Millions. I mean, I keep reading this like, okay, that's a lot of people. A lot of eternities at stake. It's real easy to focus on Moses and lose focus of what it was really about. It was about the redemption of God's children. I don't know, right? I don't know about your calling. I don't know what God has called you to do, where God has called you to go, what God has called you to say, but I do know this. If it's God's calling on your life, it's right. And it's not about you. It's always going to be about someone else who needs to see Jesus, who needs to be redeemed. So don't ever underestimate God's calling on your life, and don't ever underestimate who you are in Christ Jesus. You are God's special possession. You are God's holy nation. You are a child of God, and that is who you are. And you are to declare the praises of the one who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous, powerful, wonderful light. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Just so you know, that wasn't me making something up. That's what God says. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. So I hope this passage helps you tonight. It absolutely helps me. To finish the story, I hugged Miss Brazier, and I didn't tell her anything. I just said thank you. And then when I turned, I went and sat in my truck and cried for a little bit. I didn't cry in front of her. But within a week, Marty and I just prayed, and I went to Coach Harper right before my last basketball game. Well, I didn't think it was going to be my last, but it happened to be my last. before that game, I went to him and told him, you know, Coach Harper, I'm going to be resigning at the end of this year. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to take these kids to camp this summer until you find a replacement for me, but I'm resigning. And Coach Harper said, Jeff, what's wrong? And I said, God's calling me to ministry. And Coach Harper said, well, you need to get out of here. He said, I'm not going to try to talk you out of something that God talked you into. And he loved me, hugged me. And I remember one of the first people I told was Miss Brazier. And we were partners right beside each other. I preached her husband's funeral. So, again, it's not about you. It's always about his calling, and it's always about somebody else. Amen? It's good stuff. Good stuff. Can't make it up. God's too good. Any questions or any comments tonight? Over the passage that we've covered at Exodus chapter 4 or anything else before that. Any questions, any comments? What you saw tonight, maybe something that you've seen and just want to shout it out? Anybody? Anybody?